My name is Ben Bueller. My wife's name is Rachel. Rachel grew up in the church here, and we came here 5 years or so after we got married, and then we spent the last 2 years in southern Texas doing a missionary training program at an organization called To Every Tribe. They have a 2-year training program called the Center for Pioneer Church Planting. And the 1 year is theology focused, and the second year is missiology focused. So while we were in Los Fresnos, we were missionaries to northern Mexico, which gave us valuable cross-cultural experience while we were in school to translate that into where we're going to go long-term. And then we finished our program, and we've been officially appointed with To Every Tribe to Papua New Guinea. This is a picture of us on the day that we completed our program. And so with that in mind, now we're kind of in between the Center for Pioneer Church Planting, which is CPCP, and Papua New Guinea, which is PNG. And so what are we going to do between now and then? Our main focus is finding new ministry partners to help join us in God's work. We're also going to be doing some traveling. Rachel's going to be doing a 2-week jungle medical training course in North Carolina in September. And then we're going to be going out to Colorado to be doing an intensive language and culture acquisition course out in Colorado Springs for a month in late October to late November. And then I'm going to be doing an internship here at RBC underneath Al and the rest of the elders just to kind of gain more experience before we go using the time we have. We'll be living in Kalamazoo this whole time and be building relationships with all of you guys and people around here and then some different churches we have. So, where is Papua New Guinea? It is over across the Pacific. Right there. This is Australia right down here. And so, it kind of ends right here. And that's where we're going to be long term, is in Goroka, Papua New Guinea. Here's a better picture of the country itself. While we were there, our ultimate goal is to help reach the unreached by planting churches. And the current way that we're doing it is by training the local pastors. We've joined with a group of 20 to 30 local pastors they're going to join us in our church planting efforts. So we're going to live kind of on the station right by some of them. And the 20 to 30 pastors will come 4 times a year for a week-long training program where we'll teach them through a book of the Bible. Discipleship is one of the biggest needs for these pastors. Many of them have never had a formal theological training, seminary, or anything like that. And then there's also 7 guys currently that the missionary that we're going to be joining is discipling several days a week to disciple them to plant churches in the currently unreached areas that we're focusing on. So it's really cool. This is another thing we're going to be doing. We're going to be Bible storying in the unreached villages. This is a picture of the missionary right here that we're going to be joining, him and his family. This is him actually in the unreached village story, and this was earlier this year, I think, a couple of months ago. So that's another thing we're going to be doing. And then also, we're going to be doing these other things. Clean Water Project. Many of the people in PNG drink dirty water. And so we're hoping to build some filters out of cement and then teach the pastors how to build them, and then they can sell them for money to help support them and their families and then also just to give them clean water, and then to get into more unreached places by using this clean water project. And then literacy course. Many of the people that go to church over there, many of the Christians, don't know how to read or write. And they've started a literacy training program that we're hoping to join in on that will teach them how to read their Bible for the first time. Actually, when we were over there in March, we got to see the graduation of the first year-long course, and these people were like handed a Bible that they could read for the very first time. It was really, really cool. And all of this to support church planting in the unreached areas of Papua New Guinea. This will be our view from our back backyard. So it's very beautiful in PNG. We're going to be living in a small mountain town, maybe about 14,000 people in Goroka. I showed you on the slide previous. And we're hoping to be there next July, but possibly as soon as December of this year, depending on how fast we can raise our support. And it depends really on support, language school slots, and if we can get our visas and work permits to get into the country by that time. So this is a very, very, very brief update. And so if you guys want to know more details, we'd love to have dinner with any and all of you, or just come up and talk to us. We'd love to share what's going on in PNG, what the Lord is doing through the pastors there and everything. Through all this, we do have some needs, both financially and prayerfully. We need additional monthly and one-time partners to join in God's work in PNG. And we're still working with Two Every Tribe to establish a dollar amount that is needed to move to PNG permanently. We'll have more details coming soon. Until then, we'd like to ask you to pray about joining us and spreading the effort of spreading the gospel in PNG. And I was going to start off with this, but we thank you guys very much. You guys have been a very supportive church, both financially and prayerfully. We know this, and we thank you for that. We're very grateful for you guys. And then prayerfully, just pray for us and other missionaries. The Van Der Ark's are here. You can ask them what they need prayer for. Stephanie's here. Many of the missionaries that RBC supports, just adopt somebody and pray for them regularly, or all of us. Specifically for us, though, that God would be glorified, most of all in our ministry, our marriage, that it would be strengthened. And the people of Papua New Guinea, there's still a lot of unreached people in Papua New Guinea. So just pray for the unreached places there and abroad. Our team and teammates, we're hoping to join that one family. And then there's another family hoping to get there before we do. So it'll be a team of three. So just pray for team relations and team building efforts. And then just pray for more ministry partners for us. So that's the update. If you guys are not on our update list, or the Van Der Ark's or Stephanie, downstairs there's these little cards that Justin made. Just go ahead and fill it out, and then we'll put you on our list, and you'll get our updates. So that's the update. So if you guys would turn with me, today we're going to be in Matthew 9. 35 through 38. All right. I'm going to pray first. Lord, we come before you now, and Lord, we come here and worship you, Lord. We pray that you would be glorified in our our prayers and our worship, Lord, that we wouldn't come here just to check it off our list, but Lord, that we would come here to praise and glorify our wonderful Savior. And Lord, as we walk through your word today, I pray that you would open our ears, that you would speak through me, Lord, that your word would come through and be proclaimed this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with me and be with the listeners. Lord, that you would just press upon our hearts what you would have us learn from your word. And we just pray this in your son's name. Amen. All right. So Matthew 9:35 through 38 says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field, into his harvest.'" Now I'm going to start off with the setting of this section. We can really look at verse 35 as the setting. We can see that Jesus was traveling to all the cities and villages. He was doing two things when he was going there. He was teaching in their synagogues, and he was healing their every disease and affliction. So Jesus was proclaiming the gospel, and he was healing their physical needs, or tending to the physical needs of the people, all in the surrounding area of Israel. Now, there are a growing number of people who do missions today that only address the physical needs of the people and not the spiritual needs. In other words, they are not sharing the gospel with them. They're tending to their physical needs while the state of their eternal souls remains the same. Now, this is the wrong way to do missions. But here, we can see a perfect example of how Jesus cared for both their spiritual needs and their physical needs. Jesus was teaching to all of the Jews in the synagogue, and he was preaching and teaching to the lost and to the saved. He was scattering seeds of the gospel that some may take root. He was being a living example of how to do this for his disciples. So this is kind of the setting that this passage takes place in. This first part of the passage is kind of a summary of Jesus' ministry during this time. And it's kind of the bookend of chapters 5 through 9, kind of the summary of what Jesus did in those chapters. And then it marks the beginning of when Jesus starts to hand his ministry off to his disciples. So next we'll look at the need for mission. Let's read verse 36. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." As Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, he was healing people. So naturally, crowds are going to start to form. And this wasn't just of the sick and the lame, but also those who were just interested in what Jesus was doing and amazed by his works. As the crowds gathered, Jesus had compassion on them because he loved them, and many of them were unbelievers. Notice it doesn't say that Jesus had a holy and righteous indignation for these sinful people. Rather, he had compassion for them. And this compassion that Jesus showed was a deep down, like gut-wrenching compassion. It's kind of like if you had a family member or friend that was suffering and in a lot of pain, you would have compassion for them, and you would want to show kindness to this family member or friend in any way you could. So that's kind of how Jesus feels towards these people. The reason Jesus is having compassion for these crowds is because they're harassed and helpless. And some translations say the crowds were distressed and downcast. We could picture the mood of this crowd as it's coming, as they are coming to Jesus. They are like this because they lack leadership over them. They are struggling from a lack of leadership both spiritually and physically. The Jewish priests and leaders at this time were supposed to be filling this role, but they were not. And then Jesus gives us a visual illustration to compare the crowds to a group of sheep without a shepherd. This is a comparison that would have been easily relatable, since many of them were probably somewhat familiar for caring for sheep. Now, how helpless are sheep when they don't have a shepherd? Have any of you ever studied sheep in school or since you graduated? If not, let me tell you briefly how helpless they are. Sheep are some very vulnerable animals, and they are in need of a shepherd. Someone once told me that the sheep are so helpless that they cannot even find their own water source. In fact, they would just circle around the watering hole until they died of thirst unless someone pointed them to the watering hole. So Jesus is saying that these crowds are like sheep without someone to tell them where to go. They are in fact helpless and in great need of a savior and a shepherd. This is still true today for the lost people in the world. They are helpless without a shepherd. Jesus tells his disciples about the lost crowds because he wants them to know what and who the mission is and who it is. Now the answer for the mission. Let's look at verse 37. Jesus says, Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Now Jesus, after he had been moved by the crowds, turns to his disciples and starts to instruct them. He starts off with a statement of truth. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Just to clarify, the harvest Jesus is talking about is people and not crops. Now he sees that there are a lot of people being led astray and very few people to tell them about the true Messiah. When Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, he's basically telling them that there is a great amount of work that needs to be done. And when he tells his disciples that the laborers are few, he wants them to understand the urgency of the mission. This is a very urgent message because of the discrepancy between the size of the harvest and the number of workers. This is especially true when the number of the disciples of Jesus were very few at the time that this was written. This is still true today. The harvest is very plentiful and the laborers are very few. Today there are an estimated 3 billion people in the world that have never heard of Jesus and have no access to the gospel. This is a pretty large harvest field, and there's still a great need for more workers. Imagine you're standing next to Jesus in front of a 10,000-acre cornfield. Jesus is not saying that there are like a dozen ripe ears of corn out there somewhere, so go and find them. Rather, he is saying that there is a full and ripe harvest throughout the field. Ripe ears of corn further than the eye can see. And there are too many ears of corn for one person to pick by hand. It would be an impossible task for you to do this alone. You would need help. Right now, the estimated number of unreached peoples to one missionary serving overseas is one Protestant missionary for every 21,894 unreached people. These are just people who have no evangelical witness among them. This is not including our lost neighbors and coworkers and family members. So all of this to make the point that Jesus' words still stand true today. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are very few. But Jesus did not leave his disciples hanging with this dilemma, but he gave them a solution for the problem. Let's read verse 38. He says, "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Verse 38 starts out with the word "therefore." And any time we see this in the Bible, it means that it is connected to or a direct application of what came before it. First, Jesus tells his disciples to pray. Not just to pray once in a while about the nations or a quick little prayer about the nations. No. He is saying to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And as some translations say, beseech the Lord of the harvest. We need to regularly, if not daily, pray for more workers to go to the nations. And this is one of my favorite verses and one of the favorite verses down at To Every Tribe. The reason it is our favorite is because it reminds us that there is a Lord of the harvest. It is a done deal that there is a harvest out there, and Jesus is the Lord of it. Jesus is not the Lord of the maybe harvest. No, he is the Lord of the for sure harvest. The harvest is as sure of a thing as Jesus coming back. It is a relief that Jesus is the one in charge of the harvest, and it does not rest solely on our shoulders. We participate in what the Lord of the harvest is already doing, responding in obedience to Jesus' command. So we know also that there's going to be a harvest, and the harvest will be from every nation and every tribe. We can know this because there are several places in the Bible that specifically mention some people from every tribe, language, and people. This is Revelation 5:9. "And they sang a new song saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scrolls and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation.'" Once again, that's Revelation 5:9. And secondly, from verse 38, Jesus tells his disciples what to pray for. He tells them to pray for the church so that more workers might be sent out from it. Only through prayer to the Lord of the harvest will people be sent out. The Greek word here for sent out is ekbalo. Now, many of you have probably seen this word on the cover of the To Every Tribe magazines. And you probably wondered, what does ekbalo mean? And it could be translated as, it's the Greek word, to be translated as like forcefully sending out or thrusting workers out into his harvest. So he's flinging people, I guess, out into, that's how David said it nice today, he's flinging people out into the harvest. And so this is the same word in the New Testament where Jesus talks about where he's casting out or sending demons out of people. So it's with that same force that Jesus is going to send workers into his harvest. And he's going to do this through the prayer of his saints. So Jesus is telling his disciples to pray that the Lord would thrust out more workers to bring in the full harvest. Now, for application, I have 2 points of application from this passage. First, if you are here today and you are not a follower of Jesus, you are like a shepherd, or you are like the sheep without a shepherd. You are lost and helpless and in need of a Savior. But the good news is that the good, perfect shepherd has come, and he will be your shepherd and your Savior if you turn to him. He meets harassed and helpless sheep. He meets harassed and helpless sheep as a compassionate shepherd. So turn to him today without delay so that you can drink of the pure water and be satisfied. Now, secondly, We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest earnestly to send out workers into his harvest. We can pray in general that workers be sent out, but let us pray for workers to be sent specifically to unreached places. This is something that everyone in this room and downstairs can do. And it is the only way that more workers will be sent out. I would encourage each person or family to adopt a specific unreached people group and pray for them. Pray that the Lord would send a missionary to them and that a gospel-centered church would be planted among them. If you want some resources to find an unreached people group, you can talk to Rachel or me or Justin or Stephanie, and we will direct you in the right way to find an unreached people group. And also, although there are still 3 billion people without the gospel, be encouraged and thank the Lord for the saints that have gone before us and obey Jesus' instruction to pray for more workers. Because of the Lord working through their prayers, there are over 4 billion people that do have the gospel and access to it today. Now, in closing, I'm going to read a quote from a commentary by Michael Green as a charge to us today. And it says, quote, "We must be willing to answer our own prayers, and like Isaiah say, 'Here I am, send me.' The disciples must have been very surprised. It is one thing and relatively comfortable to pray to the Lord of the harvest to do something about it. It is quite another thing and rather forbidding to hear him say to us, 'Go.' We must be prepared to share in answering our own prayers."